Welcome to another live teleconference call for Entrepreneur's Journey with Yarrow and myself, Gideon Shelwick. We've got members here from both Blog Mastermind and Become a Blogger. I'd like to welcome you all to the call today, and we're very excited. There's going to be, we're looking forward to some really great questions from our participants today. I guess the next thing to do is to welcome my other host, Yarrow. How are you doing today, Yarrow?
Thanks, Gideon. Pleasure to be here.
Excellent. Well, I think we can pretty much get straight into the questions. And so if anybody has a question, the way to ask a question is to press star and then, was it 9, Yarrow, to raise your hand.
Correct.
So star 9 to raise your hand. And we'll be able to see that on our control panel here. And then we'll click on a button and you'll get a message. And then you can ask your question. So if you've got a question, feel free to start asking now to raise your hand. So star 9 to raise your hand. And remember, you can also ask questions inside the little live chat that we have on our website.
And don't forget, Gideon, you have to press star 6 to activate hand raising.
All right. So if you've tried hand raising and it didn't work, that's my fault. And let me just press that button. Star 6, is it?
Yeah.
Let's just try this again. Yeah, I'm just wondering if I'm doing this right. Am I supposed to press it just once?
Press it just once, and then you'll hear them. They hear the lady, and she'll tell you whether hand raising is off or on. So you may need to press it twice if it's off.
Okay, so it's not star 6 then, is it? Is it another one?
Sorry, star 8. Yeah, my bad.
Sorry about this. Okay.
The commands are in the control panel. Sorry, guys. Gideon's just having a go at being the controller, so we can get used to the tool. I'll be watching the chat room, so while Gillian's figuring that out, Bob and Mitch have already started talking. It's at entrepreneurs-journey.com/teleconferences. There's a live chat room in there, and you can ask questions. And if the call is not too busy, we can actually address the questions that come through the chat room as well. So, but we'll focus on live calls, assuming you guys and girls put your hands up once Gideon figures out how to turn hand raising on.
I've just figured out how to do it, so I'm delighted to say that we have a little hand showing here, so I'll click on it, and then we'll get the first question.
Hello, Yarrow and Gideon. This is Carlos.
Hi, Carlos. How are you doing?
So I am lucky today because in the very first call I tried for an hour and a half, I couldn't get it, so I feel blessed today.
Excellent.
All right.
Well, go ahead and ask your question.
Yes, my question is this. Besides the SEO title tag, is there any other search engine optimization tweak that we can do? Is there any way or such a thing like put a description tag on WordPress?
Carlos, that's a very, very good question. And I actually noticed that you've submitted your question in the membership site this morning. I'm still going to respond to that as well. But I think it's a great question to answer in here as well. Other than the SEO title tag plugin, there are a number of things that you can do to help for your search engine optimization. So I think I'll first give you an answer of what I know about it. I'm not an SEO expert myself, but then I'll hand you over to Yarrow as well, and he'll be able to tell you a little bit more about that. What I do know about it is that it's very important for your if you want to get started with your search engine optimization. One of the key things that I always do is I make sure that I use my keywords right at the beginning of the titles of my posts. Sounds such a simple thing to do, but it really does work because the search engines give preference to those first few words in the title of your post. So that's one huge thing you could do. And then, of course, you can spread your keywords throughout your actual post as well. And what I've heard is that you could use those keywords if you can use them right at the beginning of your post and also towards the end of your post, that's helpful. But, you know, once again, I haven't tested that myself, and it's kind of hard to test because nobody really knows the exact algorithms that the search engines use. And then, of course, using the tags right at the end and making sure that you use, you know, not too many keywords for your tags there. You know, you don't want to be propping your posts with unnecessary keywords because you may get penalized for that as well. Those are just some simple things you could be doing for just some basic search engine optimization. There's a whole lot of other things to do as well. I mean, it's really it's a science, really. But I'm wondering at this stage if you probably have a lot more to add to that.
I just wanted to ask Carlos. Carlos, were you referring to, you mean like plugins you can use, or are you just talking about general SEO strategies?
Well, no, I was wondering about the code. Like in a regular website, you go and play with the title, description, maybe with the keywords, even though Google doesn't pay that much attention, but I just do it just in case. I was wondering if there is anything like in the SEO title tag, you have to put a little code inside. Is there anything, maybe plugin or something like that you can put like a description tag, or doesn't exist on blogs or in WordPress?
When you say description, do you mean the meta description tag in the header? Yeah. Is that what you're? Okay, yeah. I believe the all-in-one SEO pack has that function. It's a plugin. A little bit more, it does more things than the SEO title tag does. And I think one of those things is controlling the meta tags as well. But, you know, like you said, meta tags are borderline useless nowadays. They do sometimes have an impact on some search engines, only in the sense that they actually take that description and use that text in their search results. They don't give you a ranking based on that text, but they will use that to help describe what your content or your page is about. So, like you said, it's worth having meta descriptions and meta keywords in the header.
All right, yes, that's what I was asking precisely. So I was wondering if, Gideon, if when you answer my post, if you could put that plugin or if you're going to tackle that plugin in your video series, I wait. I don't know, whatever is best for you.
Sure. Okay. Well, I'll definitely put the at least the link to that particular plugin in my response, and then you can check it out. It's the principles for installing it should be pretty much exactly the same as installing the other plugins. There may be a few other things you need to do to optimize it and to just make sure that the settings are correct. But, you know, the other thing you could do, Carlos, is we've got a suggestions area in our website that you can add, you know, any suggestions to other videos that you'd like to see as well. And if you chuck it in there, you know, we'll just have a record of that so that we can – we haven't got a video for that yet, and we haven't planned to create that video yet because we have the SEO title tag plugin already. But perhaps if the demand's big enough, we will create a video for that.
Well, I thank you so much. I saw that suggestion today, but I didn't know if that was the right place to do it.
Okay.
Well, okay. That I think that answers my question. And I just wanted to tell you guys that your program is just perfect for me because even though I have some technical knowledge, I know that a guru of the technical knowledge, but I'm really, really busy with 3 kids, a lot of websites, my day job. So following your videos once, twice a week, and I am up to date with everything. I enjoy so much. So it saves a lot of time for me, and it's so clear that it's just perfect. I thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Carlos.
Thanks, Carlos.
I think I'm done for right now. If I have any other question, probably raise my hand later.
Yeah, sure. Just raise your hand again if you've got another question. So thank you very much, Carlos. I'll mute your line now and I'll move on to the next question.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
Okay, moving on.
Hey, guys. It's Mitch. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Hi, Mitch.
Just I just have a real quick question, at least for this round. I'll probably have another one sometime later on the call. But I'm putting together, you know, a network of blogs, and it's like they all have a very similar title. You know, my blog is College Football Place, and someone has one of mine that I want. He's like, I'm going to auction it off, or, you know, it's a reasonable thing. And, you know, obviously it's not McDonald's.com or Nike.com. What's reasonable to pay for something like this? I don't think there's that much value in a URL. I don't think that it's going to define whether or not my blog is going to be successful or not. I see people with not so good URLs do really well. I see people with great URLs not do too well. So, but like, how do you gauge it? Obviously, you know, McDonald's.com, Nike.com, that's worth millions. It's not that, you know, it's with this guy doing nothing with it, it's basically worth nothing. So, I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, I've actually bought a couple of domains in the aftermarket, which, you know, means I had to buy them from somebody else. In fact, becomeablogger.com was one such domain. With Become a Blogger, I was approached by the owner, and they, being a fan of my work, were quite willing to give it to me. They actually wanted to see the domain be used for something useful and thought I was a good person to do so. So they just wanted, I think I ended up paying $200, something like that. So, you know, very reasonable. Another domain I bought, I think it was last year or the year before that, I called Blog Domination. That one I actually went to a website called Cedo. That's the one, Cedo.com. It's an aftermarket for domain names. So the owners of domain names can put their domains at auction, or they can just accept offers and put a buy it now price on their domains. That one had a buy it now. I think it had a starting price, a bare minimum price of $500, I believe. So I negotiated that. With that system, you can go in and make an offer, and then it goes to the owner, and the owner decides what they want for it, and I think we ended up settling on $350, something like that. Now, those situations are good because the domain name has already been priced for you, and I'm assuming this guy's not giving you a price. He's trying to wait for you to give him a price so that he can get more money from you, which is, you know, negotiation.
Well, he claims there are people, you know, that are interested, you know, of course, and that's why he wants to put it to an auction.
Yeah, it's tough to say. It depends on what it's worth to you. In the sense that what I would do is put a price tag in your head that you would go to as your maximum,
if
you were going to buy a property.
It's worth, you know, if I make $1 million off it, it'll probably be worth it. But if I don't, you know, then it's...
Yeah, but you just said to me that that's not the leverage point to make $1 million. So it's not worth $1 million to you.
I don't think it's going to be.
No, so it's only worth then... You know, consider how much of an advantage it is and what you, you know, I'm sure you have a feeling in yourself where, am I willing to spend $1,000 on this domain? No. $500? Maybe. No. $300? Yeah, maybe. You know, and then get yourself a ceiling limit as a feeling, and then, you know, ultimately the price will be decided based on demand. So if you're facing no competition, you know, you can get it very cheaply. If the guy really does have a bunch of interested parties, he'll just let everyone submit some bids and it'll probably choose the highest bid. So, you know, it also depends on your own financial situation, you know, how much liquid cash you have right now available to you, Mitch. But don't get hung up on it. That's why I always say to myself, here's what I'm willing to pay. If it's more than that, I'm just going to let it go and forget about it.
All right. So I'll just see what happens. I have plenty going on in the meantime. So
yeah,
it's just I don't want to. I've had, you know, on my current blog, I switched URLs, and I know how painful that can be.
Yeah,
you know, it's like starting over again. It's like,
right.
I don't feel like doing that. All right, good deal. I'm gonna get back to blogging. I'm hanging in, but I'm doing articles at the same time. So
okay, multitasking.
I'm blogging around the clock.
Good on you, Mitch. All right, let's move on to the next person. Here we go.
Hi, guys. This is Norman Horn with LibertarianChristians.com. And my question is regarding with backups. Obviously, you don't want to lose your hard work. And so I'm wondering, what should you do in order to make sure that you have a successful backup plan? Do you use a plugin or cPanel, or what would you suggest?
Oh, very good question. Norman, I'm assuming you're in the Become a Blogger premium program. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, well, it's a good thing you're asking. Just after our, towards the end of our plugins module, we actually do cover a neat little plugin that you can use for backing up your database. And the next video after that shows you how to back up all your actual blog files and folders. So we do cover that in detail. I'm just trying to look at which particular video that is. Video number tutorial 13, I think it is.
Okay, I guess I just missed that in the lesson plan.
Yes, it's actually a new one that we decided to add because just a few weeks ago, Mitch, who was just on the line before, had his site hacked into, and we thought, well, maybe it's a good idea to introduce that backing up feature early on in the course so that people don't lose the hard work that they've done up to that point. So, I mean, if you're interested, if you already want to back up your blog, if you could send me an email and I could send you a link to that particular video that'll show you how to do that, you know, depending on how much stuff you already have and how serious you are about backing up your website. So, it's up to you.
Or it sounds like you already have.
I'm sorry. Yes, I'd be happy to do that. That'd be fine.
Okay, great. So just send an email to support@becomeablogger.com.
All right, great. Thank you very much.
Excellent. Easy one. Thanks, Norman. Let's move on to the next person.
You're going to jinx yourself, Gideon.
That one.
What's the meaning of life?
I don't know yet. I'm still looking.
Okay, here we go.
I have a couple of questions. There's also, besides all-in-one SEO, there's one out there called Platinum SEO. And some of the added features, that it has all the features of the all-in-one, and the added features are like no-follow type of stuff. So you could, you know, add no-follow categories or no-follow articles and stuff like that. Plus, it allows you to add some more stuff into, let me see, I'm looking at it right now, additional post headers, additional page headers, additional home headers. You know, how useful is that stuff, or is it even necessary to worry about? You know, and here is like, use no index for database archives, no index for tag archives, and so on and so forth, no index for RSS feeds.
There's some useful stuff there. I mean, it's not, you know, make or break. You're not going to notice amazing results after using them. It's sound principles, you know, putting the nofollow on pages that you don't want to be indexed in Google because there's no point passing on PageRank, for example, your terms of service or your privacy policy. There's no need for that rank. So, you know, you don't want to leak PageRank onto that individual page. So that's why people do things like use the no index or the nofollow on links or in their header. And, you know, having control over these things in a plugin is certainly an advantage. So put it this way, all the plugins that we're mentioning here, all-in-one SEO, Platinum SEO Pack, SEO Title Tag, all of them do the core most important things well. So they're all good solutions. They will help you optimize your titles for your posts and your pages. And you know, let you control really the most important thing is the title in the actual browser bar. Everything else on top of that, it's gravy, I guess is the best way to put it. You know, it's not going to, if you got a great lamb roast, your gravy's going to make it a little bit better, but it's really the lamb roast that's good, you know.
Okay.
That's my terrible analogy there, but not good for vegetarians either. So, but, you know, I'm looking at the Platinum SEO Pack list of things there, and you know, I'm not using this plugin, and it's not meaning that my blog is not getting rankings for things. There's certainly some cool stuff there, controlling meta tags, as we talked about with Carlos. Great advantage, not going to break the bank. You know, avoiding duplicate content, that's certainly helpful. Yeah, I mean, if you haven't done a title like a plugin yet for SEO, this would certainly be one to test out. The reason we recommend SEO Title Tag in both Become a Blogger and Blog Mastermind is simply the simplicity of setup, because the other things they do, people don't know what that how that impacts things. Like, you know, you talk to an average person, they have no idea what no index, no follow, and, you know, no DP, no directory, no archive, what meta tags are, all those extra things do. And because they're not really that important, if you do include that, it just creates confusion, which is worse thing because it results in no action. So
right.
We recommend SEO title tag, get your titles on get on top of your titles. You know, great for controlling tagging and giving tags keywords as well in search results. And that's, you know, that for me, those two things have been the most important for SEO.
Okay, so the platinum one, basically it's good. It just gives you a little more tweaking capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And if you know about, if you read that list and you know those things, go for it.
Okay. About keywords, when you do, you know, like some basic keyword optimization, if, for instance, let's say you, just as an example, you use WordPress, right? And so WordPress could be spelled with a capital W and a lowercase mm-hmm. W. So should you include both?
Well, I've never heard of capitalization having an impact on SEO. Certainly, if it's anyone ever makes that claim, then I'm sure it's, you know, they've done a split test and trying to make an assumption that it's the W being capitalized or not that makes a difference. As far as I'm concerned, that's duplicate. Whether you use a W with a capital or a lowercase, it's still the word WordPress. So it's still that keyword. So if you put it with, you know, two different versions, one without, one with, you're actually using the keyword twice.
Okay. All right. I kind of thought that. But I actually read somewhere that, you know, if it was a, you know, a normally capitalized word, then that's how you should use it. But okay, no, it makes sense what you say, though.
You know where it matters, though, is actually human beings. It's been proven for conversion that capitalizing the first letter of a phrase on most situations will, improve the click-through rate. And that's been tested with pay-per-click advertising.
Okay, maybe that's what I was, okay, one last question. Concerning like submission software and sites that, you know, submit your site to all these, you know, supposedly, hundreds or thousands of search engines and all that kind of stuff. Is that, you know, is it even worth using or, you know, can it hurt you? Can it help you? I just see a lot of stuff and a lot of it, you know, makes a lot of good claims. You know, but then I read elsewhere, well, you shouldn't do that because that can actually hurt you in the end. So, you know, I hear a lot of, you know, conflicting stuff. So just wanted to get your take on that.
Right. Yeah, we actually cover this quite a bit on these calls. I think people often come across lots of these distribution services for video, for content. And you're right. The benefits as you read that sales page sound pretty darn good often. So put it this way, I've never used them. For a long period of time, I've played around with one or two, and what I don't like about them is the lack of control and seeing my content on a bunch of junky sites. Essentially, right. You know, I know some people will argue, and it depends on the way you view your content distribution. Some people just want their content out in as many places as they can, regardless of the reason why it's there or who put it there or what site it is on. Distribution is simply a numbers game in that case. Personally, I prefer to know that my content is being distributed based on merit. So a real human being has read the content, liked it, and then linked to it from my blog, from their blog. And, you know, that in almost all cases will get your content onto a better quality blog. It'll bring in a better quality link, and that will actually lead to real search engine optimization benefits and more traffic. Of course, there's a lot of people who specialize in just blasting out multiple niches, content everywhere, and their goal is just to start getting a little bit of traffic from each site. So quality becomes less important to them. They're going for volume. And, you know, if you can get your content onto a million pages out there, even if 500,000 of them are junky pages, if each page at least brings one hit a day or, you know, one hit a month even, you're getting 500,000 hits. So it depends on what your philosophies are. As I said, I've not done it. I don't do it. It's not part of my strategy, and I don't recommend it to people.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. I just read an article this morning that actually one of our members sent us, Diogo, if you're listening. Thanks for the article. And it talked about negative SEO, and essentially what people are doing is that they try and get rid of people's listing on the first page of Google. It's sort of a, sometimes I do it for good purposes and sometimes for evil purposes. But essentially what they, the strategy that they use, and this is, they seem to think this is what seems to be working, is that they essentially submit their site to all, a whole bunch of other websites to get all those backlinks very quickly. And apparently then Google sees that as a negative thing and makes their site essentially irrelevant. So, I mean, this is from another person. It's not straight from Google, so we'll never really know the exact algorithms that Google uses. But, you know, I think it just it sort of supports what Yaros just said before, is that, you know, you just don't know what happens to your content and how Google views your content being seen on other websites and all these links being created back to your website so quickly. And I think with that kind of stuff, for me, certainly I've been burnt a couple of times. And at the moment, when I see things like that, it seems too good to be true. It really, in my view, they definitely are too good to be true.
Yeah.
So that's my take on it.
Okay. All right, guys, thank you. I might ask something a little later. I don't know. But in the meantime, have a good night, and thanks for answering my questions.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to the next person.
This is Carlos again.
Hi, Carlos.
So regarding this person that asked for the backup, I will request through the support email that link to the video number 15 so I can take a look. But since I think you, Gideon, mentioned the database, is there any way to transfer the content of a blog to another URL effectively? The whole thing. I was wondering,
right,
can I replace like the database from one URL to another, so I transfer the content, the whole content as a blog, WordPress.
Okay, so essentially what you're trying to do is to copy your content. You want to move all your content from one blog to another, and am I understanding that correctly? I haven't done it myself, but I know that it's possible. There are a few tricky things involved with that, so probably can't explain to you how to. Well, I wouldn't know how to do it because I haven't done it myself yet. Probably recommend you get a technical person involved to do that for you. And the other thing that I'll just quickly mention as well is that I'm not sure if you're planning to run these two blogs at the same time. Thinking? No?
It's just a silly thing. I started a blog. It's very simple. It has a few pages of content. But I was wondering, probably it's just for the challenge, if I put the database of that blog to another URL and I cancel the first one, will I have the blog transfer?
Well, I guess, you know, I haven't done it myself personally, but I know that it's possible. Yaro, have you done that? I know you've done that with forums before, but have you?
So, yeah. We've my blog moved from one server to another about 2 years ago when I did a redesign, and that was actually botched up a little bit. I didn't do it. My tech person at the time did it. Well, it's certainly possible. All we're talking about here is downloading the MySQL database, then you upload it onto the new server, and then install the WordPress software, and it plugs into that database, and away you go. And that's my very simplistic way of describing it. And there actually are plugins as well that can do it for you, where, you know, it's as simple. And actually, I think out of the box, WordPress does it too, if last time I checked, where you can use the import function, and you can even just use RSS feeds. But you know, usually you have to have one blog set up already. And if you have full text RSS active on that blog, you can install a version of WordPress on another domain name, go to the import function in that, put in the RSS feed of the blog you're trying to import the content from, and you'll just grab it straight from RSS. That's usually the last resort way of doing it, though. You much prefer to actually, you know, upload the MySQL database and then plug it in that way. Like Gideon said, though, this is something you do want to be reasonably familiar with your tech, because bad things can happen and you don't want to lose all your content. What happened in my case is when we did the move, instead of doing one duplication of my SQL database, so basically download it off one server, upload it onto another, we did the other way. We installed a new version of WordPress and then sucked the content from the other site using an import function rather than just taking the database and replicating it. Because of that, the page IDs and all the content that got imported were different to what the page IDs were for the original blog. So in other words, the article might have been article, you know, /101/title name. On the new site, it was actually 107, something like that happened. So a lot of my search results, because Google had indexed the 101 version, when you click that link in the Google search, it actually turned up a different article on the new blog once I had designated my domain name to the new server. So we had a lot of issues, and I'm still suffering, I believe, a bit of a search engine ranking drop because of that mistake. And I'm kicking myself, really, because it was my fault for not being careful of seeing how this person was actually doing the transfer. I mean, he thought it was fine to do it that way, but I was, you know, I saw that coming, so I could have put a stop to it and said, why don't you do it that MySQL way instead, which would have avoided that problem.
Yes, as you can hear, Carlos, there's quite a few technical challenges there of doing something like that, and it may be worth getting a technical person to help you with that, unless, of course, you feel very comfortable with that sort of thing.
Well, yes, what I was wondering to try just with an experiment with I made up a small WordPress blog, and just to try to see if it works. But that's great. That answered my question.
Great.
I have another one, and it's this. As you may know, one of the problems of this era is the lack of time to do everything that we would like to do. And for me, social media is something that is impossible for me to do for anything, for websites or blog or whatever. The question is, do you know any, or do you have any tips or any kind of outsourcing, some quality outsourcing, not somebody who does just whatever, so that they can do the social media in a few places for the blog or for the website?
Okay, so you're asking...
To promote a site or a blog in social media. But I know that it's very, if I do it, because I know what I'm talking about. But do you know any kind of good outsourcing to do that?
So you're essentially, you don't want to do it yourself because it's so time consuming. You know how to do it, but you're wondering if there's someone else out there who, a service or a website that does all that stuff for you. Is that's correct?
That's right. Or a place, a forum that people can do that for me.
There probably are a number of services. I haven't used any services myself. I used to just do it myself and actually got my wife to help me with submitting stuff, and it was extremely time consuming. But the one that just pops into my mind just immediately is the Traffic Geyser one. But of course, that uses online video. And online video submission services, and it also transfers it to podcasting directories, and it does a bunch of social networking sites as well. But I'm not sure if that's exactly what you're looking for, because there's still going to be a time component for you using that method. Yara, are you aware of any other service around at the moment that does that?
Nothing that I know of a good reputation. I mean, there's lots of contracting services that will just list that as something they will do for you. I've got a friend who uses a contractor just to manage their Facebook profile, and all they do is go around and make friends for them, send little introductions when someone becomes a friend, just to form that relationship building process and build the a friend network in Facebook. That's just a contractor. It's not something they advertised as their specialty, but you could just tell them, you know, I want someone to do this for me. So, and it was cheap. We're talking $15 a month, I think, something like that. There are a few services, I don't know of any off the top of my head, but they do tend to focus specifically on helping you with social media. I think the best way, though, would be to go into Elance and check the categories and see if you can find anyone specifically talking about, you know, their specialty is managing your social networking or your social media submissions for you. And the good thing about this is just very easy. You know, you just need someone who can follow some instructions. If you make a little document to show them how to do it the right way or how you want it to be done, you can give that document to any contractor and they can get it done for you.
Carlos, great. I've just listed that website in the chat room as well. It's elance.com.
Elance. Okay, yes, I heard about that. Well, I am on a cell phone sitting on my car, so I don't have my. But it's good enough. I am writing down everything. I think what I was looking for is what you mentioned, that friend that had a contact with those things. Okay, I look into that, and thank you so much again. And I am done for the day. Good night. Thank you for answering my question, and I may be listening to the MP3 later on.
Okay,
great.
Thanks, Carlos.
Good night. Sleep well.
And I'll make sure that I respond to that question of yours as well inside the membership site.
Thank you so much. Good night.
Okay, bye-bye.
Just while Gideon's opening up the next line, if anyone wants to ask a question, just press *9 if you've joined the call recently on your telephone pad or your Skype pad, and your hand will go up, and we will get to you.
Great. Just saw a few new hands coming up. Thanks for that, Yara. All right, moving on to the next. No, it's good. I was actually going to mention it, so thank you very much for that.
You
okay, next caller is Norman again.
Hey, guys. Thanks again. My next question is regarding guest posts, and I've, of course, noticed all the time reading Yara's blog and ProBlogger and various things that a lot of people try to get people to come in and do guest posts for them. Great way to get new content up. And my question is, when you're so small, when you're not a well-known blogger yet, how do you manage to get bigger people to come to you? Is it a matter of just, you know, blitzing them with emails or not, you know, multiples, but I mean, how do you manage to do this? And then also, how do you get to guest posts for other people?
Yeah, that's the better question there, Norman. Usually it's that way around. You don't find many people who get a big time author to write for a brand new blog for, you know, anything other than money because, right. You know, there's no incentive there for them to do so. And, you know, they already have a successful blog. The purpose of guest posting is usually to start building up a successful blog, and you really only guest post on blogs that can potentially deliver significant results compared to what you're currently getting. You know, so I will still do a guest post on ProBlogger because he's got super traffic, but most blogs I'll say no, you know, that sort of thing. The other way around, though, that's, you know, you going out there and writing for other people's blogs is a stock standard reliable traffic building tool. It's something I cover in a blog mastermind is one of the, you know, really important things I did during the first year of my blog's growth. So, and not even guest blogging, guest writing in general. I contributed to an online online magazine called Treehouse. I wrote a couple of articles to get them into offline print magazines. So there's things you can do if you're prepared to write and give some of your best content away. You don't think you're a blog mastermind student, so you're probably not going to get that lesson. But in a nutshell, I really talk about is it's the relationship building process. And then really you find a way to deliver a benefit to the person you want to guest write for. So do Darren a favor or do, you know, Lifehacker or whoever you want to get on a favor just to trigger that law of reciprocity. And, you know, they'll know you and feel indebted to you. Then you can just approach them and say, hey, I'm wondering, could I write a guest post for your blog? I want to cover this topic. And I think it's very relevant to your audience and will help them to do this. You know, always focusing on them and what you can do for their audience. Once they've, you know, seen that, they're very likely to go, all right, let me see what you've got. And if I like it, then, you know, away you go. And a lot of the blogs run by individuals, not the mainstream sort of newspaper-run blogs that have teams of journalists and they're, you know, paid on a regular basis. But the individual blogs, they're very open to quality guest content. In my case, I do not actively seek guest content. I have not, you know, asked someone or posted requesting guest content for about 3 years, maybe 2.5 years. The guest posts I get now are purely from usually blog mastermind students who have something that they feel is relevant to my audience. They obviously want some traffic. So I'm a little bit indebted to them because they're a customer of mine. They're a member of my program, like you guys all are too. So you immediately have a little bit of reciprocity with me because of that. So I'm going to listen to you just by saying, hi, I'm a become a blogger member, or hi, I'm a blog mastermind member. You get to open the door because of that. You know, we should put that as a bonus on the sales page. It's definitely a benefit there.
<We should. laughs>
But from that point forward, it's really the on topic. If you're whatever you're presenting is relevant to what I want to do and what I want to teach my audience, and you have a quality piece of work, you know, this needs to be some good writing, then in almost all cases, I'll say, sure, I'll schedule in for some time in the future. And, you know, it doesn't hurt me, but I do realize that, you know, I'm not living and dying by guest posts. That's not my content formula. You know, most of it comes from me, but I'm happy to help my students and love to help my readers if someone has some unique insights into something. You know, that's why I do my podcasts as well, the same deal. You know, you can get great interviews done if you feel you have something unique to offer through that medium.
Well, let me offer right now then. And if you're ever interested in a post on blogs as a political force, I'm up for it.
Well, you send me an email to support@blogmastermind.com. Give me the title of what you want to write about and what you want to teach, and I'll let you know.
Okay, thanks a lot. That's a great answer.
Okay, no problem, Norman.
Thanks, Norman. Okay, moving on to the next person. Here we go. I'm not sure if this is working. Let me just try this again. Yeah, it looks like my interface is just frozen a little bit. I was wondering if you could try and maneuver it on your side.
Let me turn off Norman first. Just a reminder, everyone, while we're waiting for the machine to catch up, the teleconference service, you can ask questions in the live chat room at entrepreneurs-journey.com/teleconferences, and we will respond, especially during times like this when the technology is not quite working. Looks like the high dev conferencing website's got a bit of lag. Okay.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, who is that? Yes.
Hi there, this is Twain, and I'm calling out of Atlanta, US. And I got a question about a new blog, which is maybe 3-4 weeks old. It's called immorte.com, I-M-M-O-R-T-E. And we already have maybe about 30 posts. And I wonder when is a good time to add maybe forums. And actually, we have not even yet promoted it much, although it does show up in Google.
Great. Yeah, I'll leave this one to you, perhaps.
Yeah, I'm just going to say, you turn off. I can hear myself. I'm getting you turn your microphone down. Sorry.
I can hear myself, too. I'm not quite sure what's happening.
It's the caller. The caller must have the microphone on, the speaker's on.
Actually, I do not have a speaker on. I picked up the receiver, and I do not have an echo.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure what I can do to help.
It's a little bit strange.
Let me hold on. That's kind of annoying. So
Maybe I can try to put it on mute if I could. I'm not sure.
Yeah, no, let me do that. Hold on.
That was funny. I'm not sure what that was. Can you still hear me, Yaro? Okay, I'm not sure if Yaro, still hear me?
You're back. I can. I've just reset the hand raising and everyone's muted. So I'm just going to unmute our good friend from Atlanta, whose name I lost.
It was Twain.
Twain, thank you. Twain, let me see. I'm still getting myself. Just going to mute you again, Twain. I think it's your line. There we go. Twain? Yeah, Twain, it's something to do with your line. I'm actually getting some very bad feedback, and we're hearing our own voices when I'm speaking to you. So if you don't mind, I'm going to answer your question without you being live, and then I'll just unmute you for your response. Your question was regarding when is the appropriate time to add a forum to your blog. Now, that's actually very difficult thing to get running. A forum is notoriously hard to grow. It's harder to grow than a blog is because the blog rests on your ability to produce content. The forum really rests on the ability of other people to provide posts and reply to each other. So you're not just worrying about your own ability to produce content. You've got to help have other people do this, do some sort of conversations and contribute to the community. So because of that, it takes an awful long time to get a forum going. And, you know, trust me, I've launched at least three forums that have all failed to gain traction, where I've had, you know, one that's been very successful. And, you know, even the one we run now at my blog, considering how many people read my blog, the forum is very light on actual participation. You know, most of the participation, thankfully, is the people in the programs, the paid members, which I'd hope they are because they're paying for access to private forums. But the public users are, you know, very few and far between. Do we have many good quality discussions there? So my answer to you is really, I would never consider adding a forum unless one of two things. You already have a group of people who are committed to writing every single day. And, you know, that could be even your own team just to start filling some content there. Or two, you have a blog that gets a ton of daily active participation. So, you know, a blog that just has 30 pieces of content but has, you know, very few readers, no one's leaving comments, you're not getting feedback through email, you know, you don't have audience participation in some shape or form, is an indication that by putting up a forum, they're not going to magically become active. You need to already have that audience. So I would say to people, if before you start a forum, you know, you really want to be getting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10,000 unique visitors a day to the site before you can expect that forum to take off without you being extremely active. Steve Pavlina is a good example. He had a forum added a year and a half ago now. I think it was could be that time, maybe a little longer. And his blog at the time was doing at least 40,000 unique visitors a day. So, you know, and of course the forum took off. You know, he had enough people. The trick with forums is to get at least sort of 5 to 10 hardcore daily participants who start posts and reply to posts, and they're all very they almost have a sense of ownership of the forum. Like they see it as their community, so that's why they go back there every day. They're addicted to it. And that's when you have a successful forum, because those people provide the base. They're the ground support. They're like pillar articles for a blog. They keep producing content where people who just arrive one day, they visit the forum, they might leave a post. And if they come back in 24 hours and they haven't got a reply, that's it. You've lost them. They're not going to use your forum. So you need those base people to provide the replies to forum posts so that when a new person arrives, they get a reply and they're interested in staying and contributing more to the forum. And that's when you can get that organic growth. But it is quite difficult and you do need to have audience. So Twain, I'm going to Twain, if you could press star nine just to raise your hand again. And that goes to anyone who had their hand raised prior. All the hands were reset. So you'll need to press star nine on your line. And Gideon, I'll just unmute Twain and see if that fixed the line. If not, you can do all the talking.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's a great answer. It certainly changes our perspective. Then can I ask you a quick follow-up, actually, or precursor question?
Go ahead.
Sure.
When is a good time to start promoting blog sort of actively in search engines as well as social media? Let's say we have about, like I said, 30 posts. They're quite interesting. Some folks are finding us, but I guess by accident. So when
now.
Is this a good time?
Now, right away.
Right away.
As soon as possible. Yeah.
Okay, great answer. Thank you. Much appreciated.
No problem. Uh-huh. Gideon, I will close Twain, and then I'll hand the control panel back to you.
Great. Thanks, Twain. All right. Let's move on to the next question. I noticed there's a question in the chat room as well, but let's Let's just work our way through these hand raises inside the teleconference. Here we go.
Hey, this is Leslie from the Freebie Guy.
Hey, Leslie.
Hi. I'm currently in the process of hiring an assistant to help me at my blog, and I just kind of wanted to get some input from you guys as in terms of good things that she can do on a daily basis to help out at the blog. I already have some ideas, but if you could, guys could just help me out with a list of things, that would be awesome.
A list. All right. Off the top of my head, all kinds of stuff. She can do participation in forums, as we were talking before, using a signature file to point back to your blog. You know, go on and rave about how good the Leslie the Freebie Guy is on your behalf. And of course, she's a third party, so it'll look like a third party endorsement there as well. Obviously, she doesn't want to do nothing but just raving about you, because that'll look, you know, fairly obvious, but you know, make her an active participant. You know, if you're not having someone in your emails yet, that's the first thing I'd have her do. Get her responding and being your filter for all email. I like, you know, VAs to do things that you find that slow you down. So you look at what you're currently spending your time on. It might be, you know, editing an audio you just done. You know, if you can get the basics handed off to them, you know, adding an intro and an outro and then producing the file and uploading it. So if you can just give them the raw MP3 and they go do that work for you, then, you know, that's certainly helpful. Gideon, you jump in with anything too, but, you know, the options are limitless with VAs. It's just a case of finding where your constraints are and, you know, hitting those first. And then if you hit those and get rid of all those, then a little bit of active marketing is the next best reason to put them to work, I believe.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Is to, you know, to look at the things that are really slowing you down, and that's sort of a Elijah Goldratt's strategy, where it's the theory of constraints, where you essentially look at the, you know, what is your bottleneck in your whole process of for your business, and once you've found those bottlenecks, you focus a lot of your attention on that bottleneck to fix up that bottleneck. And then you move on to the next bottleneck, and you just keep on doing that until you don't have any bottlenecks left. So that's a great strategy. And just something else I thought that your assistant could help you with, as well as with just social media stuff. We had a question before about that. You know, if there's someone that asked about if there's someone that you could outsource that to, but you know, that is some of that stuff you could outsource to a virtual assistant as well, as long as you're very clear with what your requirements are and the kind of stuff that you will let them do. I mean, you don't want someone out there who goes wild with social media and actually turns people off, as opposed to building relationships. So that's just one thing.
I've got another two just that Gideon triggered there. Affiliate recruitment and management. That's really powerful leverage point. And documentation. So if you're setting up systems in your business, they can produce documentation. So if, you know, they need to leave your business later on and then you hire a new VA, you just pass on the documentation and the system just keeps running. You know, great for optimizing your business so it becomes a passive income source. I really like the affiliate one, though, because, you know, that's going to be a huge leverage point when you launch your membership site, Leslie, since I know you're gearing up towards doing that. And I want to see you have great success there. So, you know, the more people you can get on board to promote for you, the better. And a VA can just scour the internet for anyone who looks like they have a large size blog or email newsletter or website, and, you know, use some sort of template approach. And then, you know, if she's good at communicating, she's a person who's a natural communicator, you know, tell her, just go make friends with that person. Maybe we can get them on a podcast interview or something where we can do for them so they feel indebted. And then when it comes to do this launch, we'll have this door available. We can get them on board as an affiliate. And if you can nail, you know, really it only takes five at most, even top affiliates who can drive 50, 100 sales each. And you've got a huge membership site for that. I mean, Gideon and I can refer back to our own launches, and it's a very much an 80-20 rule. The top 5, 10, 2 affiliates will do the web, you know, 80% or more of your sales. So if you can nail those ones and keep bringing more of those into your business, you know, that's where you'll get the growth. So, you know, Blog Mastermind, there's 4 affiliates over the period of time I'm running that site that have accounted for, you know, 400 of 1,000 members. So that's that's huge. So,
okay.
Yeah, I think that's a really cool. Yeah.
I also had another question. I don't know if you guys have ever used the service Traffic Geyser. I wanted to get your opinion on that, if you know much about it.
No, we haven't. And I think it's probably about time that we should get into it a bit, Yaro.
Everyone's asking.
We've talked about it a lot. I guess we haven't. I haven't used it yet because I haven't had a need for it myself yet. If my understanding is right, there's with Traffic Geyser, it's a fantastic service, and there's certainly a lot of good information going around about it. A lot of people are saying very good things about it. I think one thing that you've got to know about it, though, is that you still need to put in the effort. You still have to learn how all these different social media websites work and all the strategies, how they work. You've got to learn how to submit your videos and your audios properly. So there's a learning curve involved with Traffic Geyser. Now, I'm just saying this on what I've heard from someone else. But certainly if we just go on what other people are saying, it certainly sounds like a wonderful service.
You know, I would get my VA and say, go do some research and find out how good Traffic Geyser is and how much we would have to do to make use of it and whether it's applicable for what we want to do. You know, that's a gap in my knowledge, and you know, that's probably something I'm going to do quite soon as well. I think, you know, Leslie, obviously I'm in the process of hiring a few new people as well, including a VA customer service person. So that's the sort of thing that's great because it's research. My exposure to that service, it's got the best street credibility of any distribution and sort of automated syndication service I know of. There's, you know, that one by far. Mike Konings, one of the guys behind it, is very well respected in the internet marketing community. And I think a lot of people use that service. It's also one of the more pricey ones too. So I think, and this is why I said this on I think our last call, the call before that, I believe it's only one of the only services that's coordinated with a team of actual people. So it's not automated software doing all the work. It's outsourced to India, I believe, and there's teams of people there who basically do all the optimization at obviously cheaper rates for the company. And that's why they can afford to act as a middleman, I guess, between the outsourcers and the customer. So, but I would ask yourself, though, why do you want to use the service? Like, what is the reason? And the answer is probably, I want to increase my traffic.
Yeah.
So the next question then is, all right, is this the lowest hanging fruit method right now to increase my traffic? And do I really see that as, you know, the greatest leverage I can get for the amount of effort required to get this set up? And if it's not, then you've got to find out what is and do that first. That being said, with enough resources around you, assuming you don't have to personally maintain it, you can have other people do this stuff for you. So you can do Traffic Geyser at the same time as you're doing something else, you know, to market, to build that traffic. But you got to be careful of the shiny new object syndrome, where you look at something and you read the benefits and you go, that's really cool, but you don't really see, you know, you don't apply it to what you're trying to achieve right now in the present moment. So see, me right now in the present moment, biggest issue, my biggest roadblock, I'm missing a few key skills in my business. So I need to go hire some people to get those problems solved. So that's my immediate roadblock, because everything else I want to do cannot be solved until those people are there. So that's what I'm working on now. But, you know, I know what those people need to do as the next step, but I don't know what they need to do the steps beyond that. So once I open up, you know, that roadblock, those people will be available to do more work. And that's when I'll start thinking about the next constraint, if that makes sense.
Yes, that definitely does make sense. Thank you guys so much.
Leslie, there's a couple more things also I'd like to add. First one is Traffic Geyser. Last time I looked, they do have a 30-day money back guarantee, or a trial at least, that you can just give it a go and
see. Yeah, $1 trial for 30 days.
$1 trial. Great. Yeah. And the other thing is, I'm sure you might have heard of it, but it's also an alternative to try. There's a couple that's tubemoggle.com. That's another free service. And another one that's not free, but it's you know, you just pay as you go, basically, is one called hayspread.com. So you can check those out as well as alternatives to TrafficGyzer. I know TrafficGyzer does a lot more, but I've had some pretty good results just with TubeMoggle in the past.
Actually, TubeMoggle is the one that I currently use. I just wanted to kind of get a comparison between TubeMoggle and that, because I know TubeMoggle just does the video, and it seems like TrafficGyzer does a lot more than that.
Yes, that's my understanding too.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you guys very much. What was the last one you said? HeySpread or something?
HeySpread, yes. So HeySpread.com. Actually, okay. I'll type it into the little chat room. So
sounds
you can
good.
Just click on HeySpread.com. There we go. All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Leslie.
Yes, Leslie.
Okay. Now, just before we move on, I'd just like to mention again, if you're new to the call or if you haven't heard us say this before, if you'd like to ask a question, you can simply press star and then 9 on your keypad, and that'll allow you to raise your hand and ask a question. Yeah, I'm not sure about you, but I don't see any hands raised at this very moment. Oops,
nope.
One just came up.
We've been for an hour, so you know we can take it. If there's any more, there they are. Got to stop prompting these people. I see Norman again, so let's help these two. But you're welcome to wrap it up, Gideon, if people are not if we're done for the night, like.
Okay, well, let's get into these two new hands raised, and there's one just from the chat room that I saw as well that we might give a go after these two, and then we'll bring it to a close. So here we go.
Hi, guys. Thank you for taking my call. Once again, I want to thank you for putting together such a great program as Becoming a Blogger and a Blog Mastermind. It's a great program, and we really appreciate it on our end. I have one question. Whenever you have a site up, theme, particular theme, that theme, actually I created the theme with some software, but it doesn't have any links across the top. I was able to build the right sidebar and put in my RSS feed and that type of thing, but I can't seem to figure out how to put links across the top. Someone told me I could do it inside of WordPress, but I can't seem to figure that out. Do you guys have any ideas on how I can do that?
Tricky question. So with links and on the top, if I understand you right, you're meaning like the navigation links that you normally have at the top of the blog?
Yeah, tabs like About Us and that type of thing.
Right. I say it's a tricky question because it sometimes depends a lot on the theme that you're using, and you know that different themes have different places where you can change those things, and it can get a little bit technical, probably a bit too technical for a call like this. A little bit hard to show you how to do this. I guess a couple of recommendations. One is to ask the question inside the forum area, and someone is most likely to be able to help you there. Failing that, it is, you know, maybe good to get a technical person along to help you with that particular thing, just to get that going for you. Because it sounds like if it's something that's holding you back, then it's, you know, worth just getting someone else to sort it out for you and get it going, so that you can focus on your content creation for your blog.
Right. Do you have any recommendations of a technical source I could turn to?
Well, I normally recommend Joel from blogtechguy.com. And he's one of the people that we recommend. There's also a list of other people that we do recommend inside the forum area. Yara, was there anybody else that you wanted to recommend?
No, it does sound to me that that's a theme issue. You may have selected a theme that doesn't have a built-in navigation bar structure. which...
I actually created the theme myself, so that's the problem, I think.
Okay. I'd say so. So
I'm in over my head. I do appreciate the recommendations, and I think that helped me find it out, and I know it's above this call, but I certainly appreciate it very much.
Right. Joel is the first go-to guy, so blogtechguy.com. He would be able to guide you on that. Now, though, if you're making your own theme, then you must have played with the HTML and the CSS a little bit. So you may
actually
find
not. It's a WYSIWYG builder, so I really wasn't into HTML. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So you'll never be able to add navigation bars in the sense of them being automated. You will be able to manually create them. It's just like creating, you know, links on a page through the WYSIWYG, but that's very cumbersome. And blog themes, most of the more modern ones, if you just click create a page, so not a post, but a page, that will actually be added to the navigation bar automatically. So anytime you want to create something solid, like a new page, it's there for you, which is, that's really very, very helpful. So, you know, there's some great themes out there.
Yeah. Might work. Yeah, that might be my answer. We'll try that. Thank you very much. No, I have one other question, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. When you're setting up your marketing strategy, I know that you in the past have taught us to do most of our things with one blog, but is there a way, or have you ever used a system for marketing that would use more than one blog, kind of like a hub system?
That's a common SEO technique. Where you would, and you're exactly right, it's usually called a hub, where you have the spokes are multiple websites all sending links and traffic into a hub site in the middle of it. That's not a bad strategy for SEO. And the thing with that is, though, you still need to have good content going on each of the individual sites. And the idea is you have a core site that usually has a shopping cart or some sort of monetization component. And that's, you know, that's your money site, really. And the other sites that you link to that site, you always use one-way links. And the idea is to have all those sites be in the same neighborhood of category. So, you know, you might have a site that sells a specific gardening tool where the other sites around it are, you know, on other aspects of gardening. So one's about, you know, growing flowers in particular. Another one could be about lawn care. And all of those have original content and point to your blog to send traffic. The thing with doing that, you know, in most cases, it's usually better to put that content if it's original, especially if you have a capacity issue. You know, you're the one writing the content. You don't have a way of getting lots and lots of content. Then it's better to put it all on the one blog anyway and just have, you know, a good gardening blog and build some authority in that site. And you'll naturally attract links that way and, you know, you can build a great site. And that's the philosophy I've always focused on. People use the hub system when they have a site like a shopping cart, because a shopping cart by its nature usually doesn't have a lot of good reasons to link to it. I mean, you know, you're not going to link to a product site there unless you specifically want someone to potentially buy the product. So you're not going to get other bloggers linking to your shopping cart. That's why you often add an article or a content component to a shopping cart so you can build some links to that site and help increase the traffic. So, you know, I guess the question for you is, do you have the capacity to provide such a level of content that you actually have an overflow? So you have too much content from one site and you want to put it on other sites. And if that's the case, then yeah, go for it. You know, create some more sites.
Okay, I think I do, and I certainly appreciate that. But I will be cautious and conservative to begin with and then test it and see how it goes. Thank you very much. I appreciate it, guys. Thank you. Have a good evening.
No problem.
You too. Good night.
Bye-bye. Okay, moving on to the last hand raise. It's the only other one I see, and then we'll have one more question from the chat. So here we go. It's Norman again.
Thank you very much. Just this one is really quick. I just wanted to make sure everybody else had a chance to answer before I got another one. But this is just regarding link backs to your own posts, and it looks kind of tacky. You know, when you have a bunch of linking to your own posts, when all your link backs are from your blog, and I'm just wondering, how do you prevent that? Because I haven't found a way to deal with that yet.
You know what? I just came across a plugin that does that. I can't remember the name of it.
The Ninja one?
What? Sorry?
Was it the Ninja one, Yara? Ninja affiliates?
No. Oh, no, I don't think so.
There was one plugin that I found. It's called something like No Self Ping. And unfortunately, it did not work with 2.6.5.
Right. You know, and that's exactly the sort of thing I was thinking of. I don't know if that was the one. I just remember seeing the function. I was thinking, okay. I didn't think, why would you not want to interlink your site, your pages? Because usually that's a good thing. You know, that's internal SEO, sending a bit of traffic and a bit of ranking to your pages within your blog. It's good structure. Like, I understand you might be seeing it as a deterrent if all you have in the comment section are incoming links from your other posts. And in the trackback section. So, you know, I don't know of something that does that out of the box besides that plugin, which may have been the one you're talking about. So all I can say is that let's ask right now. Anyone who's listening on the call, if they know that, please point it out in the chat room. It may be worth asking the same question in the forums if we don't get an answer there, and see if we can find it. But I just wish I could remember where it was. I don't think it was the Ninja one, Gideon. So
no, I just noticed you talking about it in the forum, but it doesn't sound like the right one.
Well, do link backs to your own posts like that actually do those actually improve your SEO ranking? Because it wouldn't seem to me like it would, but if it does, then maybe it's useful.
Well, it's not going to make a huge difference, but you do want to link to pages within your own sites. Like, I do that deliberately, you know.
Oh, sure. Well, I mean, and that's fine. I mean, I'm linking all over the place to my own material in order to, you know, get people to click through. But I don't see why link backs are particularly that useful, however. So,
well, do remember that Google treats pages individually. So you might have your blog is full of multiple pages, and it does look at the pages linking to each other as a way to, you know, enhance the ranking. So obviously, if all you had was, you know, you linking your pages to your own pages, that's not going to be enough to build ranking, but it really does make a difference. You know, this is an area that I do tell people to actively build those links, because besides the obvious, you want humans to click them and read your other content, you also want the search engine bots to find that content and see that there's a link going to it, because you're making a vote for that keyword phrase. You know, I've written a post on what is PageRank, and anytime I mention PageRank in a post, I will link the word PageRank to my original post on that topic. And because of that, that post has, you know, risen quite high. And that's not the only reason, but that's certainly helping, because it, you know, it makes a vote for that phrase as the phrase it is relevant for in the search engine. So, you know, I wouldn't stress about this. If anything, the best way probably to combat this situation might actually be to try and encourage more commenting, so those pingbacks are, you know, filtered in within lots of other content, so it doesn't look as bad, if that's the main reason you're concerned about it.
I see. Okay, well, that sounds like a good solution.
And I was, awesome. You know, you can leave comments yourself, you know, get your friends or your family to do it if you're really struggling. So.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Norman.
Thanks, Norman. All right, so we'll move on to the last question that we'll grab from the little chat room. Yara, I think I'll ask the question and you can answer it. It looks like a nice question for you to answer. It's from Lisa Forbes, and she says, as a brand new blogger, I have about 20 posts and would like to get the word out about my blog. What is the absolute best way to market my blog? I use Twitter and Facebook as well as forum posts. What do I do?
The absolute best way. Okay, well, this does depend very much on your resources. You know, if you had money, then the best way would potentially be using that money to buy traffic, because that's obviously the quickest way. But I'm assuming you probably don't, Lisa, or not abundant money to spend on advertising. So as I said earlier on this call, from one of the techniques I used was guest writing. I'm pretty certain, especially if you have some powerful content, that putting that content in other people's blogs that are high traffic blogs will always be one of the best free methods of building audience and getting a valuable link from a popular site back to your blog. That's the great thing about it. It serves that two purposes there. I love that technique because it allows you to showcase your writing to other people and attract people based on the strength of your writing, which then they find more of the same in your blog. So it's a very targeted method of building traffic, and you're in relative control of it too. I love that because you can go to the sites that are in the theme of your own site. So it's a case of just putting in the work to A, build a relationship in order to get accepted to do a guest post, and B, writing a really quality post for another site. That's fantastic. That would be my highest leverage form of beginner link building, when you've got only yourself as a content producer to use as resources. If you had, the other techniques we're talking about, like leaving comments, going to forums, and building up profiles, most of those things take time to get a specific result. Leaving comments only really has an impact over time when you've left several hundred comments or even 50 comments on the one blog. You can get lucky and put the first comment on a really popular blog post, and a lot of the traffic trickles through to yours. Same thing goes for a forum. If you're building a profile at a forum, often, the first 10 posts you make there don't bring any traffic back to you. But once you've made, 500, 1,000 posts in a forum, every single one of those posts link back to your blog. And it's like the long tail, because you have so many different places where people can find your content, that just the combined distribution you've got there will deliver traffic back to you. But these things take more time. One guest post on one popular blog can deliver you 50 new readers just once. That for a lot of people will double their traffic if they're just starting out. And you can do a lot better than that. Mitch was talking about his guest post on some of those sporting news sites he got. And those sites can be getting hundreds of thousands of visitors a day. And if you just get 1% of them, you've instantly got 1,000 new readers. So it can be quite significant that way. And that's been my greatest traffic gain. And, continuing the same pattern there, the next level up of that technique is giving away some powerful content like a free report. Become a blogger and blog mastermind. The success of those two programs are leveraged on the traffic power of giving away a very in-depth and helpful free report to people, the roadmap and the blueprint. And those two reports drive traffic back to our sites every single day, thanks to word of mouth, thanks to affiliates promoting it, thanks to other bloggers talking about it and referencing it. And this all happens without us doing anything else. My blueprint's been delivering traffic to my blog for well over a year now, and I don't do anything anymore to encourage that. It's purely organic. That's a beautiful thing when you can nail a really powerful resource like that. And that's what you want to be doing all day, every day with your blog. The more powerful content you have out there, the more places you've got traffic to pull it from. That's my long-winded answer for you, Lisa.
Oh, you did well, Yara. I'm impressed.
Thanks, Gideon.
Okay. So I think that brings us to the end of our call today. I'd like to thank you all for listening once again. Was there I maybe just worth mentioning is our next call will be in a week's time. So it's next Wednesday, January 28th. 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, USA time. So that's going to be our next call. Was there anything else you wanted to add, Yara, before we close the call today?
Happy Australia Day for all the Australians on the call, which is Monday, our time. And happy inauguration for all the Americans on the call, which you guys have a lot to celebrate there too, at least when it comes to your politics, maybe not the stock market, unfortunately. And follow us on Twitter. I want to get that one in too. I haven't actually mentioned Twitter much. And I'm using Twitter every day, and Gideon's using Twitter every hour. So just go to twitter.com and look up Yarrow Stark, so / Yarrow Stark and / Gideon Shalwick, and you will find our Twitter feeds to subscribe to there. And we'll probably get some more info out on Twitter to help you guys get used to it as well if you haven't used it before. It's on the to-do list. So that's it for me, Gideon.
Excellent. Well, thanks, Yara, and thank you once again for everybody. As it is our custom, we'll open up the lines and everybody can say goodbye or something like that. Let me just figure out how to do that. It's *8, isn't it, Yara?
Yeah, or just go to the control panel, Gideon, and down the bottom there's an unmute all button. You can just click that. But I'm seeing a hand up right there. You might want to address that.
Oh, address that first. Okay, here we go.
Yeah, don't be rude. So.
I'm sorry about making this longer. This is Leslie again.
I just had a quick question that I was thinking about all day and I forgot about it. If I'm going all the different places and I'm driving traffic to my blog, and I have a free report that basically summarizes what I do, and is it better to direct the traffic to a squeeze page for that free report or to the actual blog?
Most cases, the squeeze page. It depends what the traffic source is. You know, if there's a very targeted article on your blog, you could look at that article as a squeeze page for that content. And then, of course, you know, they'll love the content and be prompted to join your list to get the report anyway because they'll see it on your blog. But really, you know, it's very rare that there'll be something better than having a landing page specifically for that subject to send traffic to, because, you know, that is such a more powerful offer, because a blog is kind of scattered. Topics are all over the place. There's rarely something as comprehensive as a report is because it's sequential. So I would definitely get yourself a landing page and use that in forum marketing, social media marketing, and that sort of thing. Comment marketing, maybe not.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Great. All right. All right. So looks like that's it. I'm going to unmute all the callers, and so feel free to say goodbye or make a greeting. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Care, everyone.
Goodbye. This is Yogo. Bye-bye.